When the motivation is gone, it's about being consistent until the motivation comes back.
What happens when a United States Marine sits down with a clinical psychologist? What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Talking Crazy. I'm your host, Demetrius Thigpen, also known as Meech Speaks. And with that being said, the clinical psychologist, he ain't in for today, so it's just me. And I got a special guest for y'all. Now, just to give a little backstory real quick. Now, I remember, you know, in the early days of, you know, Instagram, I was scrolling through. And this is probably around the time where Instagram finally had dropped their videos. And it was starting to pick up a little bit of steam. And I remember I saw, like, this one Marine, and he was pulling a Humvee. Now, normally, you know, I just tend to, like, just scroll by it. But seeing him pull that Humvee, I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Can't be me. Then I would keep on, and you know how the algorithm works. Y'all know how the algorithm works. And I would see this exact same man clean and press another man. Now, look, I ain't no gym rat, but I understand the mechanics of when you got to clean and press. So if you really take into consideration the human anatomy and how the body's moving around, for him to toss another man up and just push him over his head is a wild thing. And every time that I have seen him, he has always done some extraordinary feat. And the saddest thing is that we both is in California. Never got a chance to lock in. But today, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Master Trainer, Sergeant of Marines. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Christopher Fisher, also known as Big Fish Lift. Y'all wow. Seen him before.
Goodness gracious.
How's that intro?
Bro, that was crazy. I'm about to cut that and make that my own podcast intro. That was crazy, Meech. What?
Man, I'm fired with it, man. Man, I tell you, dude, like, every time I would see you, you was always doing something that, one, made me think that you was keeping the city of Oceanside safe at night. And then, two, you know what I mean? I used to be like, damn, man, this motherfucker. I was like, dang, he's strong as hell. Like, you pulling Humvees, you tossing tires. You set the bar so high for me when it came to certain stuff that anytime that I would see anybody else do something, I'd be like, well, I ain't never, you know, you ain't picking another human
man.
Being up.
Yeah. I've never been really good at anything. I've never been good at basketball. I played football in high school. I was like the third string, got no play time.
Same.
And, right. So going into the Marine Corps, just pick up the gym a little bit, starting lifting, and I'm surrounded by all these Marines. You got Marines that are so talented, bro. Marines I met that sing, that can hoop so well, play, talk about all their football stories. And I'm sitting here like, man, I played video games a lot when I was growing up. Nothing crazy. So then I started hitting the weights pretty big, and then somebody had actually, you know how it is in the Marines, just kicking it. Somebody dared me to squat another Marine. I was like, why not?
Easy,
and it gets more and more from that. So I squat the dude. I do like a clean and press. Everybody's freaking out. I'm like, oh, y'all like that, huh? Okay. So that's when it goes over to Instagram and all the ideas just pop up. You got first sergeant seeing me like, yo, you the dude to lift three Marines at the same time. Man, I seen on the gram, I double tapped it, but hey, keep that inside your own personal space. Keep it off of the social media. And I'm like, man, I'm just happy to even start to get out and I can lead people this way. And that was my ultimate. Ever since I got on Instagram, I just wanted to be a better person for people. I wanted to give people something. I wanted to kind of show off, but also show I am this way because I want to provide you. So that's why you saw a lot of that. I'm super happy that you could reference that, man. It takes me way back when. So thank you.
100%, man. Like, and one thing that I love, bro, man, is the immediate connection that we had, because I too was not good at sports. I tried, bro. Like, I really did try.
For real.
and I'm going to just be, I'm going to be honest, man. Like, it's one thing when you a man and, like, you know, people like, oh, we don't like sports and stuff like that. Like, it'll go by. But being in the Marine Corps, people will always assume because I was black that I was just naturally good at sports. And
everything.
Basketball, football, they would pick me first and would immediately be let down.
Stop.
And
go ahead.
Immediately be let down, bro. And I remember one time. Somebody, a new guy shows up to the shop, they doing basketball, and he sees me, and he's like this, oh, yeah, I want Sergeant Thigpen. And my entire section looked at him and was like,
Don't do it.
Yeah. That's your first pick. And I'm just like, bro, I wish I was good at sports.
Yeah, same, dude. Goodness gracious.
But how's everything been, man? Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
No. I was waiting for you to. And actually, kind of, it's kind of crazy to say that because, you know, the big sergeant dude, super fit and athletic, the same exact thing will happen in all these sports meetups. Oh, we want fish. For what? What you want me to do? Bro, so they make me just stand in the middle. Picking me. For real. So they know what's up. But everything has been great, brother. I felt like when I was separated from the Marine Corps in 2020, I was on this lost path. Everybody swore that I was going to be successful and do anything I wanted. I could just grab life by the cojones and just thrive. And I felt that way too. You know, I was in the stock market. I was selling courses for people to trade. If you ain't talking money, don't talk to me. We going, all my people coming up. I started doing in-person training, online training, the challenges. And during all this, I felt like I was losing myself because I was trying to brush it off. Like, it wasn't a big deal. I was separated. I didn't need the Marine Corps. Mind you, the Marine Corps was my whole life. It's been 8 years. Mm-hmm. The people I met, the Marines I led, you know, especially being a leader, you have those situations where people come to you behind closed doors and they talk about ending their life or they talk about what they're going on with their spouse. And that, to me, was the reason I would go to work early, the reason I would stay late or go to the barracks and check up on Marines. And that's just taken away now, from them.
Brother, if I may just interrupt real quick, because please. I know it's somebody listening and they hear the word separated and they might go all over the place. But could you just go ahead, just let us know what you got separated for, just so everybody has a clear mind about
it. Absolutely. You're right. In 2018, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes as a sergeant of Marines, which is manageable. And after I got it, they gave me about 6 months to get my A1C back down to 6.2. And I was able to do that, Lord willing. After about another 6 or 8 months, I had started looking into going to drill instructor. And I went back to submit my package. And my blood work showed that I had traces of being a type 1 diabetic. And my A1C had came back up. And the A1C is just, it measures your blood sugar. So if everyone has A1C, that you don't want to be anywhere above 6.2. But after they told me that, they were like, and unfortunately, this is the second time it happened. But since you do have those traces, we are going to have to immediately start your separation process from the Marine Corps. And here are your options now, which really was just get ready to get separated from the Marine Corps. But that's why. And I wasn't medically retired. I get asked that question all the time. I was basically just medically separated. So it's the same thing as getting out honorably, get your DD 214. I still get benefits, but there was nothing special. So when you get out and get your DD 214, you and I will have the same way that we got separated, if that makes sense.
Damn, you know, right out the gate, man, like that just cleared up another assumption, you know, and that's always one of those moments where it's like, excuse my ignorance, you know what I mean? Because from my lens and from my perspective, because I remember when you mentioned it online and you brought it up like, hey, I'm a type 1 diabetic. I was like, oh shit, my sister's a type 1 diabetic. Mm-hmm. And it didn't register that this man is about to get separated out of the military and his entire life is about to change. I immediately was like, oh, well, you know what I mean? Like, he's got it. You know what I mean? Like, this is the same guy I've seen toss a person up in the air. Yeah. You know what I mean? He'd be good, yeah. You know? And then I, you know, obviously I'm assuming like, oh, well, you know, he's probably about to get medically retired. And it's just that ignorance on my part where I assume, well, you got it. That's why I never reached out. And I apologize, bro. And I want to apologize on air because not only did we live in the same area, but there was so many opportunities where I could have just reached out and be like, hey, man, what's going on, bro? Like, how's your headspace? You know what I mean? And just to see how this transition is going to be for you, because not only are you facing one transition into a different lifestyle, but now you're getting ready to also adapt to another lifestyle as well.
Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. As a man, especially being separated, brother, I feel like more men need to check on the men that they think are strong. Because I had all the friends, had all the Marines, and everyone assumed that I had it. Everyone assumed it. And don't get me wrong, right? We're men. I do have it. I am figuring out I got it. Would it have felt good to have those comforting hands to say, hey, man, look, I know this is hard. I'm sorry. I'm here for you, and I feel for that. I can't imagine the emotions that I'd have went through because I'm over here walking around like, oh, I got it. I got it, just because everybody's telling me that. But now on the outside, you're alone. I only have my family. I only have some of those Marines. I'm happy that I was able to make such a large impact on the Marine Corps because I still have those Marines that come back to me for personal training, that come back to me just to check on me. And I have a friend, Sergeant Downer, he's stationed over at Pendleton, and he just set up together where I could PT his Marines, and there's 70 of them. And that, to me, is just world-changing, is life-changing. So little things like that, man, is just, you can tell that he is still, he understands the love I have for the Marine Corps, and he still keeps me in the loop. I want to hang out with me, wanted to tell me about the Marine Corps, because it's as emotional as I get just talking about it. I can't really continue to live in the past, but oh man, I'd have been great. I'd have done this, this, and that. I got to move forward. So thank you for that, Mitch. I really appreciate it. That means a lot to me.
100%, man. You know, I always sit back, man, and I just think to myself, like, how often it is where we get so caught up in our own lives that we forget to check on everybody else. Mm. You know what I mean? Or just to forget, just to look over and be like this, like, and nudge them, like, hey, you good over there? Or just man, just seeing somebody and just saying, like, damn, man, like, that guy looks like he has everything under control. Yeah. And I feel like that's such a gift and a curse in its own right, because when you look like you got everything under control, people naturally gonna come to you. You know what I mean? They're gonna come to you for advice. They're gonna come to you when they need you. They're gonna, you know, if they need help, they coming to you. But because you always look like you have things under control, people aren't going to go to you when you got things going on in your lives. They're not going to check up on you. They're not going to give you that nudge. They're not going to look in your direction, because in their minds, they're saying, like, well, I mean, this guy's got it under control. And I feel like, damn, man, like, that's such a, it's a crazy feeling.
Being a man, do you feel it's necessary for the man to say, to set his pride aside and to ask for help? And then when it is time to ask for help, because I'm gonna be real, I don't want to go talk to no counselor or no therapist at the time, especially. But what relationship do I have, and what friend do I have that I could be like, yo, brother, I just need to talk to you, man. This is on my mind. And it's not because I don't want him to see me a certain way, but at the time, I truly felt like I had no one to call and to talk to about this. I have little brothers I have to lead. I have to set an example for them. I call them crying and complaining about what's happening to me. What are they going to do when it's time where life hits them with a big stick? Because I was comfortable in the Marine Corps getting checks and everything was just in order. I was teaching people, be strong. Hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Now it's my time not to worry about it. So where do you feel is necessary for another man to reach out to another man or to his partner? What's your take on that?
Hey, first off, okay. Hey, Christopher. This my show. Okay. Oh, you're not about to be asking me some good ass question like that. Like that. Yeah. Hey, bro, that was a great question. I ain't even about to lie to you. That was a great question. I wrote it down, but I was like, hey, well, hold on now. I thought that was a podcast. Hey,
I don't know how this goes. Okay.
No, that was a great question.
They go back and forth asking cool questions. So I'm like, I got some for him. Please go ahead.
I'm thinking coming into the scenario, I'm like, this, like, all right, I got my stuff and you hit me with that. I'm like, hey, shit, let me scratch out whatever I had going on, because that was good. But for me, bro, honestly, being a man, and when I feel like it's time to ask for help, if you would ask me that question, I would say, honestly, like, what, 4 years ago, man, I'd have told you the exact same thing. Men don't need help, you know? Yep. Like, you gonna figure that shit out on your own, you know?
That's right.
Who gonna help me, you know, 4 years ago? But when you face those moments and you go through those darker times, especially by yourself, you realize, like, yeah, just because I came out on this shit doesn't mean that the way I came out was the most healthy way.
Yep.
And I feel like if you still want to be an asset to your family, or let me rephrase that, if you want to still be able to provide for your family, you have to be able to take a step back and say, like, I need to have somebody that I can talk to, whether that's a spouse and you have that open dialogue, whether that's a best friend and y'all have that open dialogue. And to be honest with you, whether that's a therapist, bro, like, and a lot of times, man, and I love the fact that we're in this era where we it's okay now to go to therapy.
Yeah.
It's okay now to vent, because you know it just like I know it, man, where it used to be this whole stigma where strength was all that mattered. And men, we couldn't show those two types of emotions, where it's like, you can't be sad, you can't look like you're in distress, you can't look like you don't have everything going on. And it's almost like, it's not that I don't have it going on, but I am unsure. I am going through these things. I am processing these emotions. And people wonder why, like, you know, men's heart rate always so damn high.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, man, wonder why, like, we dealing with this shit. And it's like because we bottle all of these things up and we keep to ourselves and we sit in silence and we try to process these emotions, but you need somebody else to help you untangle that. And I can't stress that enough, that men need a space to vent to, and it does not make you any less of a person. So that's I would true. Say, like, we you need that now. You need that now. What about you, bro?
Wow. Well, definitely a good answer.
Thank you.
For me, and not to be, I'm not sure how this works on the internet or putting this out, but for me, I found my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I was always a Christian growing up, going through the Marine Corps. I talked like a Christian, but I was being led down a path to destruction while I was in the Marine Corps. Like, the only time I'll talk to God was when I pray for my food. Or we would go out drinking on a Wednesday night, and we'd wake up at 3 a.m. and we go right, getting ready to go run 3 miles and then PT, and then still be expected to show up to work and perform. And I needed to take that step back and really get my own life together. I had a beautiful baby girl at the time, and my son was on the way, and I was still acting like this person. I had nothing grounded me to what I needed to be as a leader, as a man. But I was a great leader as a Marine, though. Like, don't get me wrong, the Marine Corps had me because, wow, we was born in a bar. I was leading Marines, right? Yeah, you can drill nice, your room is clean, your uniform looks amazing, and you're caught up to date and you're training, good job. But I ain't talking to my daughter in a week. My daughter stayed 30 minutes up the street because I'm busy at work handling Marines, right? So when I've found the actual Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I always go back to the book, to the Bible, and I'm studying how to be a better man and how to be a better leader. And it's just taught me so much about being patient with myself, being patient with everyone around me, showing love, and actually being the person to show. Like, we always talk about it. Love, and forgive. I used to get mad at me. Each Marines, I'm blasting Marines. I'm getting pissed. I'm getting mad at my kids' moms. But now I act out of love. And people at first, like, what you talking about? Why are you doing this? Why are you treating them that way? Because I'm going to love them regardless. I don't care what they did to me. It's forgiveness. And then the people along, they're starting to fall in line. They're like, dang, I mean, I see why. Like, how do you do it? How do you do it? And exactly what you said, you need to take that step back. Take that time to yourself. Stop worrying about posting on Instagram. Stop worrying about everything going on in the world. Get within yourself. And for me, get with Jesus Christ. And then learn how to love. And then you will forgive. And then my life has been amazing since. So that's the biggest change for me.
Man, I love that, man. Like, and one thing that resonated the most with me, what you said was that, you know, you were only taught to God when you was praying over your food. And it reminded me of who I used to be. And as I continue to keep growing, that when I would talk to God, I only talked to God when I needed God. You know what I mean? That was the only time when I would really pray. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my faith has always been a guiding point for me, like my true north, my moral compass, as far as like what I want to do and how I want to handle things. But I remember there was a moment, man, when I would pray, I'm asking for things, and I'm asking for forgiveness. I'm asking to see me through this. I'm asking. I only talk to God when I need something. I'm never was there ever a moment where I would say thank you.
Yep.
You know, or I'm grateful for this. You know, or thank you for this opportunity of speak through me. I never was. And during that period was also just a selfish period in my life in general, man. Like, and when I say selfish, I never put myself first, you know? Yeah. And when I say I never put myself first, that means that my family life also suffered. I'm a great Marine. I'm great.
That's right.
Top tier performer, just like what you said. You know, the whole battalion knows who I am. I'm out there leading Marines.
That's right.
But when it's time to be a father, I'm rarely there, you know? Barely understand like that dynamic between my children, but I know my Marines' whole family,
yeah.
You know, and it was such a frustrating point because at some point I had to ask myself, like, who am I? And am I the man that I wanted to be?
That's right.
I'm the Marine that I wanted to be. You know what I mean? I'm the Marine that I wanted to be, but am I the man that I want to be? And I feel like a lot of times, like, we have to ask ourselves, like, if I took away all my accomplishments and all my accolades, am I the man that I wanted to be? And when I ask myself that question, that's when I realize, man, come on now. You know, when I ask myself that question, that's when I started to, like, walk in a different purpose.
Oh my goodness. Yep. You're on it. My kid, my daughter, especially my inspiration, 7-year-old baby girl. Not once she asked me anything about the Marine Corps, the money in my bank account, or even how much I can squat. And what she does talk to her mom about is how her daddy makes her feel, the good things mm-hmm. that his daddy does. And even my son pretty much emulates everything that she does. And she's the sweetest angel ever. She was at a softball game and all the kids were running away. And they were trampling this kid, tripped and fell. And my daughter was towards the end and she stopped and she helped her up. And she was saying, come on, I got you. Are you okay? And she's brushing her off. And it's such an insignificant thing to every other kid there because they're collecting their stuff. They're getting ready to go. But Addison's only worried about, are you doing okay? Are you doing okay? And that mm-hmm. takes me back because ever since I've been out of the Marine Corps, that's how I've been trying to raise her to treat people. Do this, do this. Mm-hmm. So to see my son and my daughter fall in line, this is the leader that I want to be. But just like you were saying, you know, your Marines' whole family, when it was about the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. hey, your mama got it. I see you. Daddy's at work. Da 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 da. What is that? You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy you still have the opportunity to mend that and fix that like you're doing now. You're helping leading people. This conversation I'm even having with you is like, I'm get off and be like, man, I can even work harder, but I'm happy to know that men are still out and they care for other men to give them that, like, hey, you're doing a good job, brother, but I'm here if you need me, man. You know what I'm saying? All this ain't nothing, you know?
No, man, like, and I think me and you had that conversation offline, man, like, where I said it, like, a lot of this isn't nothing if the community's hurting in the end, you know what I mean?
That's right. Yes, sir.
A lot of this isn't nothing wow. if the community is hurting in the end. You know? Like, what's the purpose of me being a great Marine if I'm not really a great man, or if I'm not really a great father, or, you know, I'm not really a great spouse? Like, what's the purpose of all this, you know?
That's right.
And that always sat with me, you know, that always sat with me. And I sit back sometimes, and just like you, when I see my kid's character, that's when I know I'm doing right. When I see that's my right. children's character and I hear what they say or how they handle certain situations, man, like, that's the biggest thing for me, is when I realize, like, yes, like, this is the right thing that I'm doing now. But so with that being said, man, as we talk about, like, the, you know, the holidays coming up, man, how are, you know, what's your plans for holidays, you know? Veteran now, going through, you know, the holidays. I know the holidays for me is always hectic, but how are the holidays for you?
Now that I am the vet, I actually moved my little brother in with me. He's been with me for about mm-hmm. 6 months. He was from Colorado, and he just graduated high school. He came out of school out here. My father gave him his GI Bill, so he's been blessed enough to use that. We are going mm-hmm. to take a road trip up to Colorado Springs to see his family and spend time with his family, because I'm from North Carolina. So we're going there for Christmas. So now traveling's all over the agenda. We taking road trips, flights out to see people, traveling all over the world. That's what I do now. So I do like the idea of having, because you were saying you host Thanksgiving. I wish I had the patience yeah. to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get three of the females together. Y'all get up here and cook all this food and then coordinate everything. I can never do that.
Man, yeah, I tell you.
Yeah, so that's pretty much what we got going on.
Man, I love that, man. Like, and what's so crazy is that I would always love to take a road trip. But, man, when I tell you about Thanksgiving, and the reason why I started hosting holidays more is because I hate going home for holidays. Wow. And the reason why is because I never feel like I have enough time. It's not the people. It's just I never feel like I have enough time. And yeah. It's always somebody that I miss. It's always that awkward feeling when I first get there. And by the time everybody gets comfortable with me being there, then I'm already about to leave again. You know what yeah. I mean? And I'm not going to see them for another, like, I don't know, 3, 6, probably another year. And it's always that weird feeling, you know, when I go home for the holidays. And I bring that up, man, because I know a lot of people, especially like veterans and service members, we get so accustomed to growing up and watching our family through a phone or through hearsay, she say, or over the phone, that it becomes such a weird feeling for us when we're in present with them, when we're face to face with them. And right. that was one of the reasons why I used to host, because I would be like, "Just hey, everybody, y'all can just come over to my house because y'all mm-hmm. already know me. Y'all already know me. We can already get comfortable with each other."
And the comfortable word you're saying is actually really big. I never really thought of how to word that, being around those family members, you ain't seen it forever. And then once you're actually finally comfortable, initiated, we all have these conversations like, man, things could have been different. We just all live near each other, just stay the same. But let's work on contacting each other more and X, Y, and Z. And one of my sisters actually checked me earlier this year. She was saying, you ain't been calling. You ain't been checking on me. And these kids, you need to do better. And not only do you need to do better, but I'm going to try to do better and make you do better. And I appreciate that from her. That's the big part, because you can tell everybody, hey, Michi, you need to talk to me better. We the same. It's 50-50. But
the phone works both ways.
That's right. I'm going to put forth the effort as well to keep you in the loop, to talk to you, to check up on you. We all got a long list of people we checking up on. Should it be a cycle? I think it should. Every morning I'm trying to get in the Bible and I try to reach out to somebody, just let them know I'm thinking about you. I love you. I hope you're having a great day and everything's going to be okay. Like we all love each other. And I think that's big. Then going back to what you said about Thanksgiving, that is the feeling I get when I'm around my family and I finally get comfortable and I'm happy to even be able to make it to where I can be something that I'm taking my brother back to the family. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, that to me is big. So I'm going to walk away with a smile and be grateful knowing that we're going to all go in our separate ways, working harder, making sure that we're working on loving each other more and just being a family. So that's the big part.
100%, man. I think like one of the biggest things, you know, because I love the fact that you said, you know, you need to check on, but I'll also reach out as well, because that's a surefire way. I tell you right now, if somebody say like, oh, well, you know, you need to check on me, but I don't hear them say that they're going to check on me.
Right.
I'm like, why am I calling then? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why am I always reaching out? But the same way, my sister was down here, I want to say, a couple of weeks ago. And she was talking to me and she really had a heart to heart with me. And we were sitting down and I was like, the same way that you want me to do these things, she was like, I will do them for you as well, you know? And it becomes like, it's heartbreaking sometimes, you know, and I never really talk about this, but it's so heartbreaking because it's like, imagine like you grow up with your family. They know you X, Y, and Z all these years. You go out to the military and it's like, you want to be close, but it's hard to be close when you don't see each other on a regular basis. And y'all are both experiencing life differently. Y'all are both going through life differently. And then when y'all get back together, y'all try to pick everything up. But it's always that weird feeling. So, you know, it was definitely a weird aspect. And that's always one of the things where it's like, just because, and I say this one right here because I think I'm working through it, but just because it feels weird to you doesn't mean that you have to avoid it. It feels weird to you because you're not used to it. You're not comfortable with it. You know, you got to build that familiarity with it.
That's right. So, I mean, me and my friends laugh at it, but we actually, it's good to be able to communicate those things. So if you feel some type of way about it, or if you're trying to reach out to someone, and me and my friend, we have he's in the Army, and we joke, as you know how Marines joke. That's how we bond, communicate with the dark jokes. And me and him kind of put that a little bit on my sister. She's like, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all are weird. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not feeling it. And my friend was like, man, girl, hey, I miss you. I just wanted to, I'm trying my best just to kind of like catch up with you. Cause we all knew each other from way back when. Then him and I go to military separate branches. Now things are a little different. So he's trying his best to openly communicate that. And she does a good job of catching it and be like, you know what? Let's have a good time. Let's just all spend time together because I appreciate your presence. And I thank you for that. So I think on both sides, the communicating part is probably the best way to get that comfort zone open, if that makes sense.
100%. Now, one of the biggest things, man, like as we come to a close of this episode, what was one of the biggest things that you've learned since being out, both as professional wise and as a human wise?
Professional wise, you need to have your why. You need to have your, once you have your why and you can figure out deep down why you're doing this, you need to have those rules set. Because when things get hard, what are you going to go back to? You're going to go back to drinking? You started this because you knew you was drinking too much. You put yourself in a position where you shouldn't be drinking. So when you get down that dark path, I'm going to go back to, nah, you did this because you want to be a leader to people and you want to keep moving forward. You want to show. So, you know, to me, it's my kids and it's following Jesus Christ, like I said earlier. But especially because I train Marines now, and I'm somewhat of a mentor when they're asking me these questions about going through deployment or things at their shop. You need to be the change that you want to see in everybody. So that's always going to bring you back to the why you're doing something, because you want people to be a certain way, but you over here doing the same thing that you're saying they hate. That's fun. Let's make it make sense. Now let's all put it in motion and keep it going.
I love that, man. I love that, man. And with that being said, man, thank you so much, man. Do you got any last words? You know, any upcoming projects, anything? You know, shout out a business real quick.
Absolutely. I do online personal training for Marines and anybody specifically, but I just started training trainers to help them start up their online or in-person business. So I coach and mentor a couple of trainers on how to do so. And it's just kind of like everyone thinks you can't take on training full time. There's not enough money in it. I think they just don't have the right, I won't even say hustle. They don't have the right tools to get them started to do so. So when you're able to put together like, hey, you should actually be doing this, this, and that, and it's not as expensive as everyone thinks, you could really make a lifestyle out of just fitness. And that's what I do every day. I talk to people about losing weight, getting a bigger bench press, squatting, having no pain. So that's what I do now. If you need help, definitely hit me up, of course. Me and you going to work out. But other than that, 100%. That's all we got.
And just like that, another extraordinary thought left this ordinary mind. I hope you enjoyed this episode half as much as I enjoyed making it. Now, do me a favor. If you're on Apple or Spotify, don't forget to leave a 5-star review for this podcast. And lastly, hit that subscribe button, because this podcast deserves to grow just as